This is Gavin Dahl with the KVNF Regional Newscast. Coming up, residence hall screenings at CU Boulder may help reduce COVID-19 cases on campus. Plus, U.S. Fish and Wildlife is changing how it evaluates the protection of habitat for endangered species. First, here's Jody Peterson with headlines.
Delta County is reporting a new COVID-19 outbreak site at LaRue Creek Foods, an organic fruit cannery in Hotchkiss. An investigative team immediately began contact tracing. Conservation groups seeking to halt further oil and gas development on the Thompson Divide claimed a victory at the end of August. The Thompson Divide area, southwest of Carbondale, provides domestic and agricultural water for the Crystal, Roaring Fork, North Fork, and Colorado River valleys. Now, a federal district court has confirmed that 2,700 acres of oil and gas leases in the Divide have expired. The groups are still working to secure a permanent ban on future oil and gas leasing for the Thompson Divide. The Colorado Outdoor Recreation and Economy Act, CORE Act, would do that through a congressional mineral withdrawal. The act passed the House last month and is now in the Senate. On Monday, a traveling national memorial arrived in Montrose, which honors those who have fallen in the War on Terror. The Remembering Our Fallen Memorial will remain on display in Montrose through September 13th at the Montrose Elks Lodge. Antiquities dealer Forrest Fenn has died, reports the Associated Press. Fenn was famous for sparking a treasure hunt 10 years ago for gold, jewels, and other loot he supposedly hid in the Rocky Mountains. Thousands searched for it over the years until Fenn announced a few months ago that the treasure had been found in Wyoming. Several died on the quest, including three Coloradans. The 90-year-old Fenn passed away on Monday at his home in Santa Fe, New Mexico. For KVNF, this is Jody Peterson.
A new Trump administration proposal will change the process for protecting habitat necessary for endangered species. The Mountain West News Bureau's Maggie Mullen reports.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service already considers economic impacts before issuing a critical habitat designation. But under the current proposal, the agency would have to accept economic assessments from industry and private landowners. Noah Greenwald is with the conservation group Center for Biological Diversity. He says the rule is troubling.
What this proposal does is essentially puts a thumb on the scale and says whatever speculation a particular landowner or industry makes now counts.
In a press release, Service Director Aurelia Skipwith said, quote, the proposed regulations would provide greater transparency for the public, unquote. She added it will, quote, improve consistency and predictability for stakeholders affected by ESA determinations and stimulate more effective conservation on the ground, unquote. The public comment period closes on October 8th. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Maggie Mullen.
CU Boulder's been open for in-person classes for only a few weeks, but has already reported an uptick in COVID-19 cases among students. While some of those came from CU's 6,000 residence hall students, it's the 25,000 who live off campus who account for the vast majority of cases. Case numbers might be lower among dorm students thanks to residence hall screenings that spot cases before there are symptoms. Early warning screenings include wastewater surveillance of each dorm. KGNU's Shelley Schlender spoke with spokesperson Candace Smith.
There were large parties which were out there in the public, got attention off campus, and we did see one larger gathering on campus that first week of school, and now, logically, 2 weeks later, we're starting to see the cases come in. The other thing that happened is that several of our dorms, the wastewater sewage testing, which is testing for virus loads in the wastewater, gave us the early detection we were hoping for. So we sent out several notices to residence hall residents that they needed to come in and get one of our screening tests as part of our monitoring process.
How are the students responding to this idea that their poop is revealing something to the world about their dorm's COVID-19 status?
The students really have been good, especially the ones living on campus. Some of them were a little unnerved. They were a little freaked out because they were told, oh, you got to show up for this test. The wastewater is positive for showing the viruses in your dorm. So some of them were a little unnerved. We sent out another communication, not only the students, but the families, basically saying, this is a good thing. This is early detection. We just want to make sure that if your dorm, your res hall, is testing positive, you definitely need to get a test for that week. That seemed to calm people down. I mean, we know this is challenging. We know this is not the experience in college that they expected. And we just appreciate their cooperation.
When you said that some of them were freaked out, was it just because there might be COVID in their building? Or was it because they felt like when they flushed the toilet, that's a private matter between them and the toilet?
It was more that it's COVID in their building and they're worried about getting COVID. Or they may have COVID and they don't even know it.
Candace Smith, when you were in college, were you this careful with your social distancing as these students are being asked to do?
Yeah, we know it's tough. We know it's tough. But what they have told us is they really want to stay here. And the other thing is that when we've asked them, including the fraternities and sororities, if we were to go fully remote, would you go home? And the answer is no. So they would stay here in the community. So we would like to keep them as occupied as possible and in classes and, you know, keep them busy with their studies so they're not occupied by other things. We are feeling really, quite frankly, proud of the research that's taken place in a short order, our monitoring efforts from ventilation to the wastewater to the screening and the diagnostic tests. I mean, if you think that this has really just happened in a matter of months, it's really, I think, a Herculean effort on the part of, you know, faculty, staff, and students, also just with compliance on what the guidelines are. And, you know, keep in mind, like, the state oversees us. If they didn't think we had a good plan, they would shut us down, right? And the county would shut us down, and they could still shut us down, but right now it's working.
You got to hand it to the students. It's natural for them to want to socialize. This is the time where students get their best friends for life. This is the time where they learn about love and a few other things as well. And they have to be much more cautious about it this year.
Yeah. And in fact, we've had to, this is just not here. This is statewide. We're hearing about increases and demands for mental health, increase in suicides because of isolation. So, you know, we're doing things too, like we've had greater demands for mental health services. So we're stepping up that, trying to offer different ways they can connect. I mean, so for a club, instead of actually meeting in person, they're doing Zoom meetups or different types of classes. For anybody who's actually been to college, this is like this is so depressing. But for a lot of our first-year students, they don't know what college really is like. So I'd say that they're actually adapting, and a lot of them, quite frankly, glad to be away from home, and they're glad to be here.
That does it for the KVNF Regional Newscast. Thanks for listening.